Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, February 15th, and we are live. Live on Facebook, live on Instagram, live on YouTube. You name a spot, we are live on it right now. So if you're listening to the podcast at any point after this, just know we're a little late today trying to get all this set up, and it's still not perfect. I mean, we have a ton of stuff to do production-wise that I'm fired up to do, and it's going to look better and better. But we are live everywhere, 9 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday. We are going to be live, and then we'll put it out in podcast. So if you want to watch us, look at Chris's ugly mug like I have to do every day.
Damn.
We are right here live. So thank you for tuning in. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to kind of take a trip down memories lane, right? Valentine's Day was yesterday. That brings up the conversation about the big event at Ohio State with Mickey Marotti, and that is the St. Valentine's Day Massacre that he actually was forced to change the name. I bet you didn't know that, Chris. He was forced to change the name because it wasn't good for PR if a kid died in a workout called a massacre. That would be really bad. But no one died, not yet at least. So that will be coming this Friday for the Buckeyes. And I want to talk about that, talk about the offseason. I also want to talk about, Chris, speaking of Valentine's Day and love, I want to talk about coaches having affairs, kind of the dark side and the spring break for adults that is college coaching. So if you are watching live anywhere, just drop in the comments and just say what's up. Say hi.
And where you're from. Where you're from too.
What's that?
Yeah, drop in like where you're from.
Yeah, where are you from? Where are you watching from? So we're going to go for at least 30 minutes today, maybe a little longer because we're live and we've never done this before. So Chris, let's talk about the Super Bowl to start. Kind of now that the instant reaction is over, where are you at with the Super Bowl, the season, the Bengals' future, all that?
I you know, it's really interesting, Zach, because I think and I describe this Rams team as the super team of the NFL, yeah. And the Bengals were kind of the underdog of the NFL, and so for them to go toe to toe, I'm still super impressed with the Bengals, and I think they've all handled it super well. I mean, kind of post reaction, we saw Joe Burrow talk about, they tried to bait him into saying the offensive line was bad. He wouldn't do it. He said individually, we all need to get better. And I don't know how you can like not like the chances of them getting back again. I know it's hard. I know people like mentioned, you know, other guys not being able to make it back. I know Pat McAfee went on his show and said we made it my rookie year, and I never made it again.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I do think that they're in a really good spot. But I also understand that right after the Super Bowl, Zach, is when true silly season takes over. You get all the insane takes and then the insane draft stuff. And it happened in college football, too. Like, as soon as, you know, as soon as the championship ends, it's like, oh, every kid's the next All-American that you recruit. Every player's the best player returning back. It's silly season, and I love to see it. And then following silly season becomes NFL draft Twitter season. And that is my favorite time of the year where everybody is a scout. Everybody has an eval out. Everybody has everything. But Super Bowl wise, it's opened up a different kind of debate that we see every now and again. And one of the debates is like the Hall of Fame debate. I know you have thoughts on that. I have thoughts on that as well, because, what does it take for a quarterback to become a Hall of Fame quarterback? And one of the things that's getting kind of been asked about is Matt Stafford a Hall of Fame quarterback?
It's one of those things where, and I saw Richard Sherman said it, right? The Hall of Fame has become like it's a participation award. I mean, now if you have a long career, you're in the conversation for a Hall of Fame career, like just a long career. You don't have to be a great player. It doesn't matter why you had a long career. It doesn't matter, you know, any reasoning. Like Joe Flacco, they're going to talk about him as a Hall of Famer. Joe Flacco is the most average quarterback to start in the NFL ever. I mean, just average as shit. Like, what are we talking about, Hall of Fame? literally just because he was the starting quarterback in Baltimore for such a long period of time, they're going to discuss him as a potential Hall of Famer. Like, the, at some point, the Hall of Fame, think about it now, in 100 years, the Hall of Fame is going to have so many people, you're not even going to be able to see them all. And that's the problem, right? You diminish the value of Brett Favre and Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, if you put Joe Flacco in there, because that means less people spend less, or more people spend less time looking at and reading about Tom fucking Brady, because they're looking at Joe Flacco. Like, that's not, the Hall of Fame is for the best of the best, the elite of the elite. Like, in 200 years, there should not be 8,000 people in the Hall of Fame. There shouldn't be. It's just the best of the best. And the fact that we're even, I mean, Joe Flacco shouldn't even get on a ballot. Like, what are we talking about? The Hall of Fame, Chris. It's just, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
All right, I'll ask you this, Zach. Is Matt Stafford a Hall of Famer today, if he were to retire?
Yeah. I mean, if he were to retire right now, I think so. And that's different, right? Different conversation. Joe Flacco was average. Matt Stafford has been really good his whole career. He just happened to play for the worst franchise in professional sports. So you can't hold that against him. His numbers, everything about Matt Stafford is Hall of Fame-esque. And now he's got a Super Bowl to cement his place. But let's be honest, he's not done yet. He's not going to retire today.
He's only 32, I believe.
So he's got plenty of a resume to keep writing, right? So he will be a Hall of Famer for sure. I think he is right now. I could, in my Hall of Fame, I could see an argument for why he's a fringe guy, but in their Hall of Fame in Canton, fuck, he's a first ballot. Put him in. Some of the guys they got in the Hall of Fame. I should pull up a list of Hall of Famers, and there'd be at least a dozen. We'd be like, huh? Really?
Okay, I want to throw it back to the 04 draft class. And shout out to my guy Craig Spring, is from listening from Pennsylvania right now. Shout out to the homie. Work has been dragging, so I hear that. But I do want to take it back to the 04 NFL draft class. There were three quarterbacks taken in the first 10 picks, I believe. The easy one, Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famer.
Yep.
The other two, I've seen some debate about. I don't know why Eli Manning got dragged into it, but I don't even want to ask about him first. I want to ask about Phillip Rivers. Is Phillip Rivers a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Oh, so again, my Hall of Fame or their Hall of Fame?
Their Hall of Fame. Because if you put Joe Flacco in.
No,
Phillip Rivers?
I mean, he had a long career. I guess,
at what point does longevity matter to you, Zach, if at all?
I mean, longevity matters. Like, you need to have a decent length of a career to be a Hall of Famer, but just because you did doesn't mean you are. Right? Just because you played for a long time, it could be circumstantial. I mean, we had a guy, and I forget his name, Doug Johnson or something. I forget his name. He was a quarterback from Florida, right? When I got to Florida, he was like, you know, probably 40 years old. So he'd been retired. He was in the NFL for 14 seasons. I never even heard of him. No idea who he was. Mostly a backup, but just, he's smart. He could throw it. And so he just bounced around the league. He was a guy that you wanted to have around as your third guy. Right. And is he a Hall of Famer? He had a 14-year career.
Yeah, but he wasn't starting, Zach. Oh, I don't want to hear it.
I'm just trying to find out what is the benchmark here. So Phillip Rivers, like, does he own any records? Did he win Super Bowls?
No Super Bowls.
I mean, he has a record for most kids by a quarterback, I think.
Yeah.
Other than that, what has he done?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you can be a great player, had a great career, like, be legendary, but not a Hall of Famer.
Should we normalize leaving great players out of the Hall of Fame? Because right now it's not normalized. Because right now everybody's getting in.
What we should normalize is that the Hall of Fame is for absolute goats, right?
Okay.
I mean, the Hall of Fame is the best of the best to ever play the sport and the position. And if you want to make it a participation award, you should have like an A league and B league, or A list and B list. Or what we should do is we should just create a Menace Hall of Fame, and I'll pick the motherfuckers that belong in that conversation. We'll build it, and people will be like, yeah, I'd rather go to that one because there's less people and you get to spend more time on the actual goats, the great ones, not walking around and looking at Joe Flacco and Phillip Rivers, who in 30 years, no one's going to know who the fuck that is.
That's fair. I think Hall of Fames in all sports should kind of follow one guideline. I think it's sometimes tricky to just leave it for the very, very best in the elite. My philosophy is, Zach, that the Hall of Fame in every sport should be reserved for the people who you can't tell the story of that sport without. So like in the MLB, I believe that everyone from Matt Stewart era should have been able to make it to the Hall, should have got to the Hall of Fame, because I don't think you can tell the story of MLB baseball without Roger Clemens and without Barry Bonds.
Yeah, it's a whole different conversation, right?
Yeah, well, I think in the NFL, you can get away with telling the story of the NFL without Joe Flacco. So I understand not wanting Joe Flacco in there, but Eli Manning is one of the elite of the elites, but I think you can't tell the story of the NFL football without Eli Manning.
It's a good point, but baseball is a whole nother conversation, right?
Yeah,
they're gonna withhold guys from the Hall of Fame that are absolute legends, like they are icons in the history of football, and it's absurd to even discuss without Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Pete Rose, like those guys. I don't care what they did, right? Exactly. A couple of them took steroids. Okay, like everyone took steroids. What are we talking about? Pete Rose gambled as a manager. Like, okay, so don't put him in the good guy Hall of Fame. Put him in the baseball Hall of Fame. Like, no one's talking about character. Pete Rose is a fucking scumbag. Still to this day, scumbag. Go to Cincinnati, talk to anybody that knows. Absolute scumbag. But he belongs in the baseball Hall of Fame.
You have to be able to separate character from craft at all times. Like, it's like guys like Michael Jackson are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but you know, we all know that, you know, not a great person.
Who, Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Michael's a great person. Don't believe that media bullshit. He ain't touched no kids.
All right, Hurt. Hey, I was just the easy example for me.
No, that ain't an easy example. Don't come at the king of pop like that.
R. Kelly.
Okay, bad guy.
Bad
guy. You got one there. I mean, what, because he likes to piss on people? I guess the girls were underage. That's fucked up. Yeah, he's a bad guy. You're right. R. Kelly. Much better example.
Bad guy, but great R&B artist.
Yes, for sure. But remix to Ignition? Come on, man.
Exactly.
Bump and grind? Exactly. He was bumping and grinding.
Greg talking about Hall. Oh, chill. Golden Stream. Things have turned into the Hall of Good. I do want to flip a little bit, Zach, kind of our next little thing. Did you notice anything on your rewatch? Like, is Jalen Ramsey overrated?
No. No, he's not overrated. I mean, he went up against some great. I mean, what do you mean? He held Jamar Chase to 2 catches on 5 targets. He gave up 2 big plays, right?
A 46-yarder. The thing the last couple of days has been to bash, Jalen Ramsey. Of course it is.
But it's mostly Bengals fans who are salty, right? He gave up a 46-yard pass to Jamar Chase, which was legitimate. But like we discussed, in my opinion, Jamar Chase is the best receiver in the NFL. Fuck Cooper Kupp. Like, he is. He does more when he gets the ball. He just doesn't get as many targets.
Pause. It's not fuck Cooper Kupp, dog. You got to chill.
No, it is. I'm saying you could say Cooper Kupp's the best receiver in the NFL. He's not. He's really, really good. He might be 2. He might be 3. But Jamar Chase gets more yards every time he touches the ball. He does more than Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is great. I'm not even knocking Cooper Kupp at all. I didn't mean it that way. So don't get offended, Chris, you sensitive ass.
No, I don't get it. It's Black History Month. I'm not going to get offended over you roasting a white receiver. The fuck?
Well, here's the thing. Jamar Chase against Jalen Ramsey. That was the conversation. That was what everyone wanted to see. I mean, he held his own. He did 2 for 5. 2 catches, 5 targets. And then he gave up the 46-yarder. But you knew Jamar Chase was going to get his, right? And then we all know the T. Higgins 75-yard touchdown where he grabbed Jalen Ramsey by the face mask and threw him on the ground. Like, we all saw that. So you can hold that against him if you want to. Reality is, he had a good game. He had great coverage on that 75-yard touchdown. If he didn't get grabbed by the face mask, he probably breaks that up, right? But you go to the other side, Eli Apple. I mean, the only time you saw him, he was getting cooked by Cooper Kupp. 2 passing touchdowns on Eli Apple alone. So,
I mean, Nico Hardman came out and said something about him on Twitter, too.
Hey, did you see the guy that makes those coaches roasting videos?
Oh, yeah.
I forget his name. They had a thing, dude eating cereal at the end called Apple Pie Toast Crunch.
Yeah. That's like an OG cereal.
Eli Woodard. It's not Eli Apple. He changed his name like freshman year of college. He had a different name his whole life. Now it's Apple. So
yeah, he changed it. I thought he changed it senior year of high school. You
said? Yeah, something like that. But Eli Apple burnt toast.
Man,
he got cooked. Him. And then got Michael him. Thomas wanted to come out and say, Eli going to Eli. I'm trying to tell you he's a SETI. Do you know what a SETI is, Chris?
Yeah, I think you guys told me about that. I thought it was like referring to girls.
It is.
Oh.
It's a girl that gets passed around to your group of friends, right?
Oh, yeah. He's getting passed around the league. It's well, it's he, so interesting.
He got passed around the receiver room at Ohio State. I mean, it was like take a turn to embarrass Eli. Him being first rounder is still the most shocking thing that I've ever seen in my career.
How does that happen? How does he become a top 10 pick? Like, does nobody call? I mean, did they call you and ask how he looked up against receivers? And then,
yeah, I mean, no. I mean, I'm not going to, especially then. I didn't know he was this big of a douchebag, but he was never disrespectful to coaches. He never popped off like he's popping off now. I guess I could have guessed he would be like this, but I mean, I didn't dislike the kid when he was in college, like at all.
Yeah.
So I would have never talked bad about him ever. And I didn't ever. The only thing that happened, I think I told you the story, Chris, is I had a group of scouts. I mean, there was probably 10 NFL teams that wanted to meet with me. And during that meeting, they were like, it was all about Michael Thomas, right? Everyone wanted to know about Michael Thomas. They thought he was one of the best receivers in the class. And so, you know, halfway through the meeting, they're like, do you have any one-on-one clips of Mike that we could watch? And I was like, yeah. And this is nothing prepared, right? I didn't prepare a cut up to try to make him look good. Like I literally just pulled up one-on-ones sorted by receiver and went to the Michael Thomas clips. That's all I did. There was no cut up. It was not edited. I didn't take out bad reps. So I just start playing it and we're watching it together. And Mike went against Eli every rep. And I've said it several times. He never lost a rep. Eli never covered him one time. Not once, not even one time did Eli get a W. And so we're watching it. And about clip 8, I'll say, this dude from the Cardinals stands up and he goes, man, I fucking told everybody. All right, coach, I appreciate it. I'm out of here. I was like, what happened? He was like, man, I told everybody Eli, he is garbage. And I was like, oh shit. Like I paused it. I ejected it. I was like, damn. Like I'm just trying to sell my guy. And here this guy's like, fucking scratch Eli off the list. Don't draft him. Don't even sign him in free agency. I was like, ooh, I kind of killed Eli there. I did. And it was completely unintentional. I was just trying to display Mike and how good he was. Right. And it was just, I knew the Cardinals weren't going to draft him.
Did you ever imagine that you know, after your time, I mean, during your time, that Eli Apple would be a top 10 pick and Michael Thomas wouldn't be a first rounder? Like, that's so bizarre.
No, but I mean, that happened all the time. Like, Billy Price was a first rounder and won the Remington Award. That's wild. And I love Billy. He's a good player, but he's not. I mean, going back to the Hall of Fame conversation, like that's more narrative than anything. Like, he was a starting center at Ohio State, followed Pat Elflein, started since he was a redshirt freshman. Like, he had that long resume that just matched. And so I saw it a bunch. First rounders that you scratch your head, you're like, what? He was a liability here. How's he a first rounder for you? Just wild. Wild.
I do have a little bit of pushback, Zach, in terms of like talking to scouts talking to coaches. Because we did hear the stories about Ryan Day kind of offering buyers beware about Dwayne Haskins and some maturity stuff and just general stuff before the draft. Was there not any of that like with kids, or do you kind of just do everything you can to get them drafted as high as possible?
No, I mean, you're honest. Here's the thing. You don't want to, not only do you not want to lie, but you don't want to, I mean, you want to have credibility, right? This is your industry. This is you, your resume, your reputation. So you're not going to kill a kid. You're not going to shit on a kid. You're not going to be, I mean, you're not going to just destroy a kid, but you will have transparency, and kids need to know that, right? And it's also a kind of a motivation point for your current players. Like, if I tell you that, listen, when these scouts come talk to me, I'm going to be honest. So if you're not grinding, I'm going to tell him like he's not really a grinder. And then it's up to them if they want to take that or if they want to try to fix that, right? And so you got to do it. And I used to tell my players all the time, like, don't think for a minute I'm going to lie for you. Like, Dontre Wilson, when those scouts walked in the door, most of them didn't even ask about him because he wasn't even a starter by the end of his career. But when they asked, like, what's Dontre like? I'm like, hey, he's tough to coach. I like him. Tough to coach. I'm not going to lie. Don't be a fucking asshole. It's that simple, right? Don't be an asshole, and I won't have to lie about you not being an asshole. It's a simple fucking concept. You don't want to be questioned about maturity. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
Be mature. Become a grinder. Work harder, Dwayne. And look, Ryan Day did that, and it was not a blessing, but he was just trying to make sure everybody knew about Dwayne Haskins, because Dwayne should have come back, in Ryan's opinion, right? I know he had the magical year, but he wasn't ready. And look at him now. Pissed away his whole career. Probably will never be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Why? because he was immature as shit and had a great year, saw some money, wanted to get his girlfriend, his crazy ass girlfriend, a ring or whatever. It's just unfortunate, right? It's unfortunate that kids make decisions like that. But yeah, I guess getting back to your point, I went off on a tangent there, but
I'm used to it. I just think that Dwayne Haskins is just so much more talented than a guy like Daniel Jones, I thought. But then you see, like, you know, one being drafted in the top 5-6 and then the other one sliding all the way down to the 20s.
You already know my thoughts. The NFL is, I mean, the way it operates, and 80% of the teams are absolute clown shows. I mean, it's just like, Jamarcus Russell was the number one overall pick. Let's not forget that. And that is not hindsight. In college, I was like, what? He threw us the ball like 6 times in 2 years. Like, Jamarcus Russell was the number one overall pick, right? Eli Apple was a top 10 pick. Like, let's not forget that, right? Michael Thomas went after Corey Coleman. Like, just so many things that I'm like,
everybody knew Corey Coleman couldn't run a route tree. Like, that was, but I'm just, that was like, very clear for me. I was like in high school.
I know, but it's like, I honest to God, if I could just, I could run a draft for a team, I would do better than I would do better than 70% of the NFL teams. And I believe that. Maybe, and that might be high, maybe 50%. But either way, there's some organizations that are freaking ridiculous when you look at their drafts, like successes. And now listen, it's a lot like recruiting. Just because a guy ends up a bust doesn't mean he wasn't the right draft pick, right? Injuries happen, right? There's external circumstances at times. Like, you look at Devin Smith. I mean, 3 ACLs. Come on. Who could predict that? He never had an ACL his whole life. And then he has 3 ACLs in the NFL. Like, so there's some times where you're like, well, that's not on that personnel department or on that team, because who could predict that a kid's going to have 3 ACLs when he's never had a ligament issue in his whole life, playing football, track, everything, you name it. Like, so, but then there's times where you look at, like, the Browns draft forever, basically Corey Coleman, all the quarterbacks, like, just, you scratch your head. You're like, what? Johnny Manziel? You thought Johnny Manziel was?
I thought Brandon Whedon was going to be good.
Well, that's okay. That's you, Chris.
My guy Chris is the one that tagged us in that Apple Toast Crunch. Shout out, Leah Lynn's Breezy. Finally get to see Chris. It's funny, bro, because everybody always hears, like, you roasting me on, you know, on the show for being ugly. But I'm a handsome dude. At least I am. I'm like a firm, like, Akron, like 8.2. So 8. Like, you know, 2. Yeah, that's a B, man. B. Not a C, like, C's getting B degrees. Average.
That's why you pull 6s. I got you.
Okay, calm down. That's what we call not P. Bishop Outdoor World wants to know, who was the hardest wide receiver to coach, Zach?
Corey Smith. Corey Smith was so talented. I mean, he's an NFL football player, but he couldn't be a real dude. Like, couldn't be a grown ass man, handle his business, like, stay away from drugs, like, stay away from the streets. Like, he just couldn't do it. And it's why he's in prison in West Virginia right now. He couldn't not be that guy, right? He was raised, and I've coached a lot of kids that were raised in whatever you want to call it. Like, right, whatever I say, it could be misconstrued. The hood, inner city, the ghetto, high risk areas. Like, whatever the fuck you want to call it. He was raised in a shitbag environment, is what it is. And he just couldn't get away from it. He just couldn't. And I'm hoping when he gets out of prison here in about a year that he gets away from it. I'm going to try to help him because he's got a good heart, but you talk about talented. Holy shit. His feet are like Ocho Cinco. Like, I mean, just the best feet I've ever seen from a receiver, but he was such a pain in the ass because he wouldn't go to class, smoke weed. I mean, took Xanax on a plane on the way to a game one time. Like was just a complete pain in the ass to coach, but I love him. Like, because if I asked him to do something, unless it was like be mature or be accountable, but if I asked him to do anything, he would do it. And he would, like, you talk about crack blocks, like ejections. That was him. He played extremely hard.
Heard that. Zach, I do want to ask you, yesterday was Valentine's Day. Obviously, we kind of touched on that early. We didn't talk about the Valentine's Day Massacre or St. Valentine's Day Workout. Yeah. And you had a little interesting story about that, kind of how they came to be. How long have they been doing the Valentine's Day Massacre?
So it started at Florida. It wasn't our first year, probably about 2007. and we Mickey Marotti just created it. So he did a lot of, it's all about these themed workouts, right? Because there's something fun, something to look forward to, and they're absolute bloodbaths. Like, just the hardest. If you've never been a part of college athletics, you can't fathom what I'm talking about. Like, when I say the hardest workout ever, you can't even conceptualize what that workout looks like. It is 2 hours of circuit training with, I mean, max weight and everything to failure. Like, when I say failure, like, you're getting slapped and yelled at and motherfucked and to do another rep. And like, it's not to failure. Like, you and I go to the gym, Chris, and I'm like, I'm going to do this to failure. And after like 10, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done. I failed. It's like, no. You think you're done, and then they pull a 45 off and you keep going. Then they pull another 45 off. You keep going, right? Until you just have the bar and you're sitting there like, holy shit. Like, and they're still screaming at you, smacking your chest. Like, the intensity level is something that a normal human will never understand, right? So these Valentine's Day Massacre it came about in 2007-ish, I think. And Mickey Marotti did a bunch. He did a midnight workout in the summer at Florida. He didn't do that at Ohio State, but the players would literally show up at midnight and they could wear whatever they wanted. And they did a 2-hour workout till 2 a.m. And it was just something different. You know what I mean? And they would show up with, I mean, they looked like they were going to the club, but athletic wear, right? Like face painted, like have shades on, doing pull-ups, like crazy. They're really shit.
Madmen. That's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. But it was all about energy, right? It was those workouts. Now, that one was fun. The St. Valentine's Day workout, I guess it's some of the players that were really fucked up in the mind loved them. But it was just different, right? And the buildup was insane. And they would put black trash bags on all the windows in the weight room. So as the players walked in, they couldn't even see what they were walking into. They were trying to create anxiety, adversity, right? It's more a mental workout than it is physical. And it's the hardest physical workout I've ever seen.
If we get to 10K subscribers, Zach, can you drop me off at Eric Lichter's gym and put me through the hardest workout ever? Like, I'm a collegiate athlete.
Yes,
you can do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely, we can do that. We can definitely do that. Now, that's not Lichter's deal, though.
I will say, more of a scientist. Yeah,
he's a sports science guy. He trains for performance. He doesn't train to just obliterate people in mental toughness, right?
Okay, cool. If we can get in touch with Mick and just drop me off, I'll fake like I'm a player. There wasn't that USC player that walk on the kid. Yeah, it was like in the preseason, Zach. The kid from USC, some student managed to get some equipment and was back there taking pumps like he was on the team.
Yeah, I think I did see that video. Wild. Yeah. But it's not. So the one story I did want to tell is, it's not allowed to be called the St. Valentine's Day Massacre anymore, because in about my last year at Florida, which was what, 2009? Yeah, 2009. That St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And it was, I mean, Mickey used to, the strength staff used to hang like pictures all over the weight room or all over the facility, like the week leading up to it, of the actual the Valentine's Day Massacre. I mean, it was a thing. If you haven't looked it up, it was a mob thing where I don't know who it was or what it was. I don't know really know the backstory, but in the mafia, like a massacre occurred on Valentine's Day, like 12, 15 people dead, all in one spot, like just Tommy gun, brrr, took them all out. And it's referred to as the Valentine's Day Massacre. And that's why Mickey thought this up, because he's an Italian guy, and he just came up with this Valentine's Day Massacre. But then a kid almost died at Florida in 2009, and immediately afterwards it was like, man, we should not call that a massacre, because what if a kid does die? Like, it'll be new headlines everywhere, like Ohio State player dies during Valentine's Day Massacre. Be like,
that'd
what
be, that'd be like the DJ Durkin thing on steroids.
But times 1,000 if you named it a massacre.
Yeah, on steroids. So,
immediately was changed, but it's still. And the funny thing is, it was changed at Florida. And when Mickey Marotti came to Ohio State and people started talking about it, it was like the name carried on. And no one at Ohio State knew about it, but still, reporters around Buckeye football called it the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And it was just, I thought that was funny. But Omarius Hines, he got compartment syndrome in his legs doing leg press and wall sits. And if you don't know what compartment syndrome is, huh?
Didn't they said it like, oh, muscle in his leg like burst?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it is a condition that happens mostly in like really, really long falls, like you fall off a roof, or car accidents where your muscles basically, yeah, they basically explode. I mean, they had to cut him open from knee to hip and put sponges in his muscles to soak up the blood that was filling his muscles. And I mean, his muscles, his legs were twice as big as they usually are. So he got that from leg press and wall sits. Like, maybe that's how insane this workout is.
Maybe I don't want to do any of that.
No. You volunteered. So if you're watching right now on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, because Chris said if we get to 10K, I get to put him through a workout and fuck him up. And he didn't say me, but I'm probably going to. Mm-hmm. Unless we can get Mickey Marotti to do it, then that would be awesome. But
just embarrass me. Let me start training right now. One of my favorite videos, man, is Jalen Holmes referring to Mickey as a mobster.
Yeah.
He's referring to Gianno. Gianno's like, look at Coach Gianno, like a mobster. We did have a comment. Someone wanted to ask about Fleming, and then I want to turn and talk more about coaches. Zach, do you think Fleming's the odd guy out this year, or do you think he figures it out this year? With a fully healthy Fleming, do you think he gets it?
Yeah, I mean, he's the fourth best. I don't know what that means. Like, does he figure it out? He's the fourth best receiver on this roster. He is. So we'll see. I mean, he certainly could develop and become something that I don't see right now. I mean, that happens all the time. J.K. Dobbins did it, right? I thought J.K. was a really, really good back, but he didn't have the elite speed, because he didn't. It's just reality, right? But then in the transition from junior to senior year, he trained his nuts off, literally might have trained him off, and he developed it, right? He developed that home run speed, and he surprised me. That's always possible. I just call it like I see it today, right? Like in 2018, Dwayne Haskins was better than Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? Like, you can only see what is in front of you and real today. Is it possible it could change? Yes. Julian Fleming could be a better player. He could develop more. Now, projecting where he's at and everyone training the same level and developing the same amount, he's the fourth best receiver at Ohio State. He is.
Heard that. There's lots of comments about everyone needs 1 to 3 hood players on the field at a time, just because, you know, to get it jumping.
Hey, listen, you preach to the choir there. I was well known to want to go get a JUCO kid or a kid from an inner city school that kind of, you know,
you love gangsters.
Because they play with a fucking edge. Like they hit different. You know what I mean? Just overall. I mean, like I said, granted, you have a Terry McLaurin or Paris Campbell who are the opposite of that, and they fucking play the way you want, the way you would expect someone from the hood to play, or whatever.
But Paris is from West Akron. He grew up in that hoop culture
too. Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm talking about, I guess from the hood is not a great frame of reference. I guess I'm talking about kind of a shitbag. Like a kid that doesn't really go to class when he's supposed to, right? Like
a degenerate.
But they walk a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you get on the field though, they're that fucking alpha. That dog,
they eat an apple and don't wash their hands afterwards. Just walk around with sticky hands all day, like
that. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, in that sense, Paris is the opposite. Paris is the greatest kid in the world. Like, so accountable, did everything right. So I guess where somebody's from is not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that just kind of has that little bit of shit bag in them, you know.
Definitely heard that. Zach, you teased a story earlier, kind of, you were talking about Valentine's Day and love's in the air, and I'm sure you love seeing these coaches post with their wives. I'm sure you loved Brian Harsin's post with his wife. But then deep down behind the scenes, you know, these dudes are all Western bareback splash, raw dogging, just hitting assistants.
Yeah, it's always hilarious to me because I don't know every coach in college football, obviously, but I know a lot of them. And it's always funny because obviously my whole personal life got exposed, right? Like, cheated on my wife. That's true, by the way. I cheated on her probably six to 10 times. I don't know.
You're a real one, dog, because if I ever did, I would not tell a soul.
Well, I see Colorado Buckeyes in here. Do me a favor before I get to this story. Hit the like button, hit subscribe. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, Menace to Sports, anywhere you could get it, check that out. Really excited for the growth of this. It'll be interesting to see how many people found this. And then as you listen to it on podcast, you'll know we're going to go live 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. So be a chance to come hang out. But yeah, it's always hilarious.
Mike's talking about one of my favorite guys too. Mike's, I'm over here reading about Jalen Marshall. Love Jalen Marshall, but go ahead.
We ain't got time for all that. All right.
Yeah. Heard you.
But it's just always funny to me. Like, my personal life gets thrown out there, right? Like, I cheated on my wife. I've mentioned that. I did. I was in a miserable relationship, and I wasn't man enough to just get divorced. That's what it was. So instead, when I went on the road recruiting and a couple times around Columbus, I cheated on my wife. It is what it is. Like, I own it now. I'm with a great girl now who I would not do that to because I'm in a great relationship that I'm happy.
I but love anyways, Justine, man. I love Justine.
Anyways, not trying to talk about that all, you know, my personal saga, but it's hilarious to me that I get, and that's the only thing that if all the media headlines, that's the one thing that is absolutely accurate, like 100% true. And I'll take all the smoke for it. Like, it is what it is. I did it. I own it. What do you want to talk about? Dick pics in the White House. Did that too. Like, we're, I don't, it doesn't bother me. Like, I own the shit I actually did, right? Mm-hmm. Hit my wife. Never did. Sorry. If I did, I'd be like, I did. It was a mistake. I was wrong. I was a bad guy. But hey, I never did.
How'd you feel about, man? You were taking dick pics in the White House, Zach. Like, was it like, damn, like, I got to do this? Was it like,
no, it was a girl that I was talking to just asked.
Yeah. Hey, but
she was like, how's the White House? And I was like crazy. Like, crazy being in here. She was like, you think you'd be the first person ever to take a dick pic in there? And I was like, probably not, but I'll try.
I'm pretty sure Bill was in here.
Yeah, I'm like, Bill Clinton was here for 4 years or 8 years, right? Yeah. He definitely snapped a pic of his ding dong. There's no doubt about it. But anyway,
you're a legend for that. I fuck with that. That's legendary shit.
He's just trying to, you know, trying to be different. That's all.
You can't be special if you're not different.
Hey, that's a fact. But anyways, it's just funny to me that I get crucified for this. Like, I'm some bad guy. And I'm looking at pictures of coaches like Happy Valentine's, like you said, Happy Valentine's Day with their wives. And I'm like, that coach right there. I mean, there's a guy that was the head coach that became a head coach from Florida that used to go in the office and work out every day at 5:30 in the morning. And after his workout, would shower with one of our secretaries, married secretary, by the way. She was married. And he used to shower with her. And like, I'm sorry, 4:30. So it would be about 5:30 when he was showering with her in the coach's locker room, because no coach got there at 5:30 in the morning, right? Coaches started rolling in around 6:15. But one time I got there early because, I mean, shocker, I wasn't married at the time, but I was banging a different secretary. And I didn't go there to have sex with her. I'm not a complete fucking degenerate, but I went to her and I decided we're going to try to work out in the morning. And I got there at 5:30 and I saw the other secretary walk, like, leave the coach's locker room with wet hair. And I'm like, holy shit, it's true. Like, I didn't believe it. And she was married and he was married. I've seen it all, right? I think I told you the story. I hooked up with a girl who was a recruiting girl at Colorado State and had previously been at Alabama. She'd been all over the place. And I mean, the stories of Lane Kiffin banging his recruiting girl, like all those, everyone, right? Everyone, coaches that I've been on the road with that are cheating on their wives with bartenders and waitresses. And it's like, then you see all these Valentine's Day posts and happy families, beautiful. I mean, some of them have like smoke show 10 out of 10 wives. And you're like, I'm sitting here like, but I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy that's unemployable. When I know for a fact, there was three coaches at Ohio State that were slamming things on the side or trying to, right? I told you, one of our travel agents, smoke show, and coaches used to hit on her all the time. It's just happy Valentine's Day to all the great husbands in college football.
Herbs, happy Valentine's Day to you, my man.
You see, Herb was down with
Trump and them.
Yeah. Donald sitting at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump for Valentine's Day at a Valentine's Day party.
I'm surprised ESPN didn't have a field day with that, man.
Oh, there's no doubt. Like, if there's one thing that Urban, well, he should do, but if he wants to like try to like repair his image, he should not be hanging out with Trump.
Definitely not.
I mean, I think he should. I think it's hilarious. Like the liberal media already hates him. Trump, Belichick, and Brian Schottenstein. Brian Schottenstein's gangster. I mean, think about that crew.
Super.
Brian Schottenstein, who outside of, I mean, in Ohio, we know him. Columbus knows him. But like, if you're in Florida, you would literally look at that lineup like Bill Belichick, Urban Meyer, Donald Trump, and who? Who the fuck is this guy? But that guy's got power, obviously, right? He's got money and power. So shout out. And I love Brian Schottenstein. That was not a shot at him. I just meant he's certainly not an international celebrity like the other three. And just crazy that he's in
But
that
he's circle. Balling like one. He's balling he's, like
I mean, shoot,
one.
He should be, right?
Yeah.
Hanging out at Mar-a-Lago with Trump. I mean, what do you mean? I can't imagine being at that table.
Yeah, Our boy Elks. Yes, it is me. I am Chris. You know, Zach always fries me for being ugly, but, you know, as you can see, I'm not that ugly.
You just want to be cute, bro. Look at
bro,
you.
Bro, chill on me.
You go live for the first time. You've already mentioned that you're attractive three times. You're trying to sell it.
We got new people asking. Yeah, I'm trying to sell it, man. Ain't
nobody asked if you're cute.
Okay,
nobody
calm in here down. Asked if you're cute. Calm down. If Trump backs an NIL fund, would that be good or bad for
Ohio State
athletics?
It'd be good for money. I don't, you know, you might turn some people off, but it is what it is.
Did you see that recruiting picture of Dabo Sweeney sitting on that kid's lap?
Yes.
What's worse, him or Brian Kelly?
Brian Kelly. It's Brian Kelly's worse because it's so much more cringe. I mean, the guy sat on a guy's leg and they took a picture. Like, it could have been a joke. You don't know the context. Like, if that becomes a thing, if he's sitting on recruits' laps all the time, then yeah, that's fucking weird. But I mean, I wouldn't have done it because it is a little strange, but you don't know the context. It could have been funny. It could have been a joke. There could have been some backstory there that made it funny and not weird, right? Brian Kelly, there's no backstory to make that not weird. Like, him dancing the way he dances, there's no way.
This move killed it for me.
Yeah, like, what are we just, and the accent, everything about it. Like, Jim Greenlee is more authentically Cajun than fucking Brian Kelly. So, Brian Kelly's more cringeworthy, but I've been trying to tell people for 3 years. I mean, I've hit the nail on the head on all of them. Jim Harbaugh, fucking weirdo, right?
Yeah.
Dabo Sweeney, weirdo. Brian Kelly, not a weirdo, but extremely stiff white guy. Extremely. Like that guy that like probably met a black person the first time at like 19. That's how stiff and white he is. So like,
someone said it looks like he seasons his chicken with water and that's it. On Twitter, and they lost me.
Right. Like, he, the only chicken he's ever had is like marinated in Italian dressing and grilled on a patio somewhere. Like, that's the only chicken he's ever had. He's never had fried chicken. He's never had seasoned chicken. It's like, oh, I love my chicken. We do Italian dressing at cookouts. We do kebabs. Have you ever had a kebab? That's what Brian Kelly has eaten his whole life. Kebabs. He's never had fried chicken or seasoned chicken because he's the stiffest white guy I think I've ever met. Now, Ed Warner, but that's why Ed Warner was his O-line coach and they work so well together, because same guy, just complete, has a stick up his ass all the way to the top of his head, like just stiff white guy. And now he's trying cool. to, now he's trying to be Joe Cool, right? He's trying to not be so stiff, and it's embarrassing.
Heard that. Absolutely heard that. I do you think if a coach slept over with a recruit today, you think there'd be a bigger story than it was when Jim Harbaugh did it like 4 or 5 years ago?
It's whatever they want to make a story, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it depends on the coach. If Urban Meyer ever did that, oh my God, it would be headlines. They would be people. ESPN would be saying, "Should he be fired? This is inappropriate." Like, so it depends on who it is. It's Jim Harbaugh, and they kind of gave him a pass. They reported it, but it's like, whatever. He's goofy. We like him.
That whole big thing with Ric Flair. I do want to ask you an evaluation question, Zach, before we get on out of here. Do you ever like 7-on-7 tournaments are kind of a big thing, especially down south.
Yeah.
And you see all these highlight stuffs from it, but how much can you actually evaluate a 7-on-7 like tournament for one of your skill guys?
Well, it depends on who you're evaluating, right? Receivers, you can get a ton. Corners, you can get a ton, right? Depending on the coverages they're playing. But yeah, you can see a lot for skill players. The one position I think you need context is quarterback, right? Because 7-on-7 is not football, especially at the quarterback position. Like, the fact that there's no pass rush and no throwing windows and lanes, you know, because when four guys rush and five guys block, there's like lanes to throw the ball through and step up. You have to maneuver the pocket. Like, the fact you don't have to do that in 7-on-7 makes it, I don't know, maybe 50% of the game at most. And not even that. It's not even the same sport to the quarterback. It is to the receiver. I mean, outside of the fact that there might be some distraction elements, like when a quarterback throws the ball, like it might be a D-line hand that it blocks your vision for a minute. It's pretty much the same game for a receiver, right? It's all one-on-one. It's all me versus you. So you can learn a lot from receivers, DBs, linebackers, that kind of thing. And not linebackers, because linebackers.
I was going to push back on that because run fit is so much of a linebacker.
Well, and just in the threat of run, never mind anything else. Like, just these linebackers, the ball snapped and they're dropping immediately, or they're running to their coverage immediately. So it's a little different, but you can still, you can evaluate their athleticism, how they move their hips, their fluid, they are their acceleration. You can do it, get a ton done on linebackers in any other position. Quarterback's the one. You can still see it. You can still see a lot. You can still see how competitive they are, how accurate they throw and all that. But you have to always have in your mind the fact that, like, all right, let's not forget this is not real football. We need to watch him play real football, because that's when you see a lot. When someone's trying to kill him, can he still make that throw? Because it's a lot easier to make a pinpoint accurate throw when you're just sitting back there pretty, no worries, not a care in the world. All of a sudden, Von Miller's trying to rip your fucking head off. Can you make the throw now? That's what matters at quarterback. And it just is what it is. It's an evaluation tool. It's a lot like a combine or a camp. Like, they're great. They're awesome. You can learn a lot. I mean, I've had two receivers that I can think of in my career where leaving camp, I was like, that kid is a fucking no doubt Ohio State player, and offered him. And then they went back and played their junior year of football, and you watch the film and you're like, this kid's awful. And it happened with one kid that I offered that ended up going to Kentucky, never played at Kentucky. But I'm telling you, in camp, he looked like an Ohio State receiver. Looked like any of these receivers you've seen come out.
Just, well, I think some guys get so good at the 7-on-7 stuff that they, you know, regress football wise.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, a lot more comes into it when you're on the field in a game, right? Character, how hard you go, your effort. Like, in a camp where you're trying to earn an offer, you might go extremely hard. All of a sudden you go back to your high school and you're a pretty good player. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to be lazy all the time and look average all the time. And
the spacing's different. Like, in 3-on-3 basketball, Zach, nobody can beat me if I have like two dudes that I know how to play with, like, just straight up. But 5-on-5 basketball, I've learned this year, you know, I'm in my first little CYO league. We're struggling, and I'm learning the hard way that the spacing and everything is different.
So you get buckets or no?
Yeah, hell yeah, I get buckets, but I can't go on these, like, score at will kind of situations.
So you don't get buckets?
No, I do get buckets. Man, well, I'm my team's leading scorer.
Oh.
So my first time ever playing 5-on-5. I'm just saying it's a little bit harder than 3-on-3.
You've never played 5-on-5 basketball?
No, well, like, I've played, like, pickup, but, like, never in a league before. You know, pickup is kind of just whoever's in the best shape.
You didn't play basketball growing up?
No, sir. I played. Oh. I was a baseball player, and then I played rugby.
I knew that. I knew you played baseball.
Yeah, baseball, and then I ended up playing rugby in college. Zach, I was a little demon on the rugby.
So you got a little toughness to you, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. You know.
You have to play rugby. I mean, you got no fucking pads.
No pads, man. It's all some crazy ass shit, dude. Rugby players are insane, man. Like,
yeah, rugby players are nuts. Insane.
Yeah, dude. Nuts. So they had this thing, like, after someone scores their first, they call it, it's a try, but it's really just a touchdown. They have to, after the game, like, strap a sock over their nuts and run up and down the field one time while everyone else, like, chugs beer. I scored my first time in college. We played Tennessee, or no, we played Louisville. Scored my first try, and they waited for me after the game. And I was like, yo, I'm not doing this. There was, like, parents there. Like, my boy Jerry had his grandma there, and two of us scored for the first time, and I wasn't doing it. The sock run, but they made Buddy run up and down the field.
With Grandma there?
Yeah, Grandma was there, bro.
Grandma got to see some college cock, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Good for Grandma. She was probably the thrill of her life.
And I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I think I'm out here with some weirdos. I cannot do it. I cannot do it.
Oh, boy.
No, I played some rugby and some baseball, and that's it, but... No, basketball, I've learned the hard way, CYO basketball. Dude, I was trying to get Garyon Conley to come run to our point guard situation.
I saw you doing that.
Was looking bad. This dude, Joe Pope, who played in college, they beat us by 40, Zach.
Yikes.
Back-to-back games, they beat us by 40. Oh, brutal. Man, someone's asking about that.
30 for 30, I know.
Yeah.
We're working on it. I want to do it right, though. I want to do interviews with players at that time. Brandon, I mean, I've reached out to Brandon Spikes. Tebow hasn't gotten back to me. Go figure. He's too big time for me now. But we'll see if we can get him. We're working on it. We'll try to get it, the 30 for 30 on the 08 Florida Gators. But anyways, appreciate everybody hanging out. I see a bunch of comments on here on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Every day, you know, starting today, we're a little late today, like I said, just trying to get it all set up. But every day, 9 a.m., live on YouTube, Facebook. I think it's on Instagram, too. I don't know that for sure. But anyways, we're going live if you want to watch it live. If not, you can go to YouTube and watch the video after the fact. And if you don't want to do that, just check us out, Menace to Sports Podcast on Apple, Spotify, everywhere. Hit subscribe, hit the like, hit the bell. Click everything on our page. Just fucking go there and click everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Just click it. Even if it's thumbs down, I'm cool with it. Click it. Click everything. So appreciate everybody. Menace out.